For our scripture reading this evening, let us turn to, first of all, to the book of Numbers, and then we turn to the book of Psalms. First to Numbers chapter 6. We turn in the Word of God to Numbers chapter 6. The book of Numbers may not be such a familiar book to us, but the words that we read here are very familiar. Numbers 6, starting at verse 22 and reading through to verse 27. Let us hear the word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Let us also turn to Psalm 4. We turn together to Psalm 4, and in this psalm we hear echoes of the blessing in number 6. Again, let us hear the word of God. Psalm 4, to the chief musician on Neginoth, a psalm of David. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness, and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, Who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time when their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Dear congregation, we were just in the consistory room, and most of you don't have the privilege of being in the consistory room, but that's also when some words are spoken. And I can share with you what was said in the consistory room before we came into the sanctuary. Each one spoke one word, blessing. 20 times that sounded, blessing. After the service again, each will say to the minister, and the minister says to each office bearer, blessing. So again, another 20 times, 80 times on a Lord's Day, at least just in the consistory alone, that word blessing sounds. And when you prayed today, how often did you use that word blessing? We so often pray, bless this, bless that, bless the other person, bless. Such a common word. And maybe when I told you, said that I would tell you what we talked about in the consistory room, you thought it'd be much more interesting things, just that word blessing, is that all? But congregation, the prayer tonight is that we would see something, know something, share in the real meaning of that word, blessing. Because that is not just an ordinary word. It is a most amazing word. A most amazing word, especially when it comes not on our lips, but on the lips of God Himself, that He comes and He says, bless. And that He speaks to people His blessing. It's those familiar words which form our text, as they are there in number 6, that whole passage really that we read, 22 through 27, but especially 24 and 25 and 26, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Well, congregation, that's everything in that blessing. And let us hear, listen prayerfully to this as our theme, the Lord's blessing. The Lord's blessing. 3 points. First, how comprehensive. Secondly, how close it comes. And third, how costly it was. The Lord's blessing. How comprehensive. How close. And how costly. In this passage, in these verses of blessing, you notice that verse 24, 25, and 26 all begin with the same word. Actually, it's one word in Hebrew, but two words in Greek, in English, I should say, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. And that is clearly not vain repetition, because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit Himself. And whenever the Holy Spirit inspires a writer to repeat Himself over and over and over again, then it must be something very important. It's to draw our attention to that word that is repeated, the Lord. And that is so important, because you cannot understand blessing apart from the Lord. The blessing is the Lord's blessing. The focus of blessing is the Lord Himself. He is the source and He is the goal. He is the all of blessing. Take away the Lord, and there is no blessing possible. People can talk about blessing, but there is no blessing apart from the Lord. Notice here in capital letters, Jehovah, the I am that I am, the infinite, the eternal, the glorious God who revealed Himself to Moses as that I am that I am, that Jehovah, that faithful, unchanging, covenant-keeping God, the Lord. And you notice that everything else is what the Lord does. Blessing is the work of God Himself. It's what He does. It's not what we do. It's not what we earn. It's not what we give ourselves. It's all the Lord, and everything else are verbs of what the Lord does. Is that how we think of God? The God who's blessed and blesses. Is that how we come to the Lord in prayer? As the Lord who blesses. That's how He makes Himself known here in this blessing. And when we then ask, what is this blessing that flows from the Lord? Then you notice that it involves three pairs, actually, of blessings. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. In blessing, He keeps, and His keeping is a blessed keeping. And then the next prayer is, the Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. In shining the light of His face upon you, He gives His grace to you. And the grace that He gives involves seeing the shining of His face. And then the next prayer, the Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. He gives peace in the way of lifting up His countenance upon you. There are these three pairs of blessing. Three and two in each one. If you look at the Hebrew, then you see a beautiful way this has been recorded in the Word of God. That first pair in verse 24 is actually only three words in Hebrew. And the second pair is five words. And the third is seven words. And the first pair is actually 15 consonants. And the second is 20. And the third is 25. It's a blessing which, as it were, each time it becomes greater. To show, as it were, the more you see of this blessing, the greater it becomes. Shall we listen then to what this blessing is? How comprehensive this blessing is? That first pair. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. That word bless is the most basic word in our passage. It's already used there in verse 23. On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee. And that's the end of verse 27. I will bless them. For the Lord to bless is for the Lord to speak good and to do good. You could say the Lord always speaks what's good and always does what's good. But also in the sense of speaking and doing what is for the good, for the welfare, for the provision of the ones he blesses, for their benefit. What is to our benefit and enjoyment and to God's glory, that is blessing. For the Lord to bless means the Lord comes for you. And not against you. He comes to be with you. And not to remain separate from you. The Lord bless you. The Lord before you. The Lord use all that he is in his infinite greatness. For your good. The Lord bless thee. And keep thee. This blessing keeps in the midst of everything that would hurt you. If God is for you, who shall be against you? Who can be against you and succeed? The Lord bless you and keep you. It's also why we sang from Psalm 121, didn't we, at the beginning of this service, where it speaks of he will guide through dangers all, will not suffer thee to fall. He who safe his people keeps, slumbers not and never sleeps. The Lord keep you, as that God who never slumbers and never sleeps, but whose eyes are always upon the ones that he keeps. Lord, keep you. That unslumbering God, even when you slumber and sleep, in his care confiding, I will sweetly sleep. For the Lord, my Savior, will in safety keep. As you wake and as you go through the day, at work, at home, at school, wherever else, the Lord keep thee. In the midst of trials, when the Lord blesses and keeps, he doesn't spare from all the trials. He even says affliction on the good must fall. But God will keep them safe through all. The Lord keep you. Even when you go to the doctor, even when you go to the hospital, the Lord keep you. The Lord keep you also spiritually. In the midst of all those spiritual dangers for your soul, Satan that goes around as a roaring lion and you feel no match for him, the Lord keep you. In the midst of that corruption that you find within, that disease of sin which would bring you to death, the Lord keep you. The Lord keep you. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. You may not always see that. The psalmist himself confessed in thee, while faith sank low, I hardly knew that thou art Israel's keeper true. But the Lord still kept him, even when he hardly knew that God was Israel's keeper true. And the Lord so kept him, even in the midst of all his doubts and all his fears and all his unbelief and all his sin, that he came to realize, I was as a beast before thee. And he said, yet in all my care, my grief and pain, I ever, Lord, with thee remain. My hand is clasped by thine forever, and held by love that faileth never. The Lord keep thee. And that's only the first couplet. There's then that second one. The Lord make his face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord make his face shine on thee. What can be compared to that? There's a sense in which God always shines. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He always shines. And yet the problem is, just like with the sun, the sun is always shining, but at night it's dark because there's something between us and the sun. There's a world between us and the sun. And so it is with us by nature, isn't it? There is our sin that separates us from God. There is our blindness and our deadness that we don't see the light that comes between us and God. And we don't see the light of the glory of God. And we don't see the favor and loving kindness of God. But here's the prayer. Here's the blessing. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. And what grace that is. When you say, Lord, I deserve the frown. I deserve the darkness of God's face. To only frown with his curse upon me. Then to hear the Lord say, the Lord shine upon thee. Shine with what? The light of his grace. That's why the second aspect is, and be gracious unto thee. Be gracious. So that with Noah, you would find grace in his eyes, shining upon you. This is a blessing. The Lord shine, and the Lord be gracious. Gracious, that's undeserved favor. When you receive the very opposite of what you deserve, this is a blessing. What a light that grace is. When it shines, that those doubts, and those fears, and that unbelief is dispelled. When those troubles and those anxieties in an older one are dispelled. And when those confusion and those riddles of a younger one dispels, the darkness of it goes away before the light of the face of the God of grace. What a light that is, worth more than anything else in the world. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Again, remember blessing. Blessing is his work. Blessing is what he does. You say, I can't make his face shine. You don't have to make his face shine. He says, the Lord make his face shine upon thee. Can it be any richer? And yet there's this third pair. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Countenance, children, countenance is your face. And the prayer here is, or the blessing here is, the Lord lift up his countenance, lift up his face upon you. You say, what does that mean for someone to lift up their face upon you? When you think of someone lifting up their face, it can be either their forehead is lifted up or their mouth is lifted up. If you begin with someone's forehead being lifted up, when do they lift up their forehead as you're there with them? It's when they're concentrated. You're talking to him, and he lifts up his forehead as he listens so carefully to what you're saying. Is that also the sense here? The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Show that he sees your need so very personally and cares for you so very personally that it's as if all his attention of this God of glory is just for you. The Lord lift up his face upon you and show he knows everything about you and your every need. You lift up your face can also be your mouth in a smile. And when someone smiles, then it shows that they're not upset with you. They're not angry with you. The Lord lift up his face and show his favor, his loving kindness, his delight to bless you and to have fellowship with you. That there's nothing between you and the Lord anymore. That's why that second aspect here is, and give thee peace, peace with God, so that you may be there in the presence of God and have peace with him in such a way that he lifts up his countenance, shows his attention, and yet not his frown, but his favor. Peace. What can be compared to that? Peace. With God. In God's love abiding, I have joy and peace more than all the wicked, though their wealth increase. The Lord give you peace. Peace also in the midst of the troubles of life. Peace amidst those things which otherwise would so keep you awake at night. The Lord give you peace, knowing he knows everything, and it's in his hand, the hand of the God who blesses and who keeps, who shines with his face and gives grace, who lifts up his countenance and gives peace. Congregation, this blessing, is it not comprehensive? Is it not all-encompassing? Can anything be added to this blessing which would make it even richer? Can there be anything greater than to share in this blessing of the Lord? Is this word blessing just an ordinary word like we so often think and we so often use it as if it's just a normal thing? No, this is the most amazing thing that God, the God of glory, would come and he would speak. The Lord bless you. And I hear someone say, that blessing, I hear about it. Is that a blessing also for me? To whom does God speak these words of blessing? It's our second point. The Lord's blessing, how close it comes. For whom is this blessing? Our first thoughts may be, this blessing is for God's people. They are blessed. That's right. God's people share in this blessing. If God has led you to repentance and broken your heart on account of sin and drawn you to that Savior to find in him salvation, then you are reconciled to God and you share in this blessing of God. Then God pronounces you blessed. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Blessed is. Now what a great privilege it is for you to hear this blessing, what this blessing is, every week again. The Lord bless thee and keep thee, be gracious to thee. Make his face shine upon you, give you peace. To leave the church knowing that that blessing is not just for you while you are in church, but it is to go with you into that week, whatever is in store in the week ahead. But the Lord Himself says, the Lord bless you. Isn't that what you need, people of God? Every week again. Every day again. At times you can sense that you need it every moment. His blessing. Because without Him, you have nothing, you are nothing, you can do nothing. And that's why God told the priests to bless, pronounce that blessing every day again there in the tabernacle. Every day. Because faith needs to hear what God will be and do every day again. And that's why this blessing still is pronounced today. My friend, when you hear it pronounced, do you hear it as God's word to you? To you. A word not of a minister, but of God Himself, that He speaks these words of grace. I will bless them. 16 times or so we hear those words already in the book of Numbers up until this point. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak. That's so fundamental. This is a word of instruction of the Lord given through Moses to the people of Israel and to us today. The Lord Himself says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, on the Lord bless thee and keep thee. So when we hear that minister pronounce the blessing at the end of the service, they aren't his words. They are God's words. And it's so beautiful also that though the blessing is in the form of the singular here in the Hebrew. And in our version of the Bible, we have that distinction, you and your, and thee and thou. And thee and thou is singular. You use when you speak only to one person alone. Speak unto the children of Israel, plural, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee. And make His face shine upon thee. So personal. The Lord doesn't just have His people in view en masse. I hesitate to raise it, but like the presidents in America, they say, God bless America. No, when God blesses, He blesses so personally. The Lord bless thee. Have you heard the blessing of the Lord at the end of the service in that way? God speaking to you personally. That's how He speaks to each one of His people. He sees what is in store for you in the week ahead. The Lord bless you. So that when you go home, and maybe you have to go home to a home that there you are alone. No one to talk to. But with those words in your heart, the Lord bless thee, there in that home alone. And maybe you go to a bedroom alone, and there you are alone with your own struggles. And then to hear those words again, the Lord bless thee, so personally. This is a blessing of God, so that His people would hear His voice, would so hear His voice, that you would expect all from Him also in another week. And that you would take that blessing of the Lord that you have heard pronounced, and that you would bring it back unto Him in prayer, and that your prayer would be with Jabez, oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. That why may you pray those things? It's because He comes to you with that word of blessing, and you may return it unto Him in prayer. Lord, do what thou hast said. And that's why you may pray with the psalmist, make thy face shine upon thy servant, save me for thy mercy's sake, because He has said, the Lord's face shine upon you. O Lord, we may pray, be gracious unto us, for we have waited for thee, because he has said, the Lord be gracious unto thee. We may pray, Lord, lift up the light of thy face upon us, because he has said, the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. You may pray all those things with expectation, because he himself has said, this is what he will do. People of God, you are blessed. You are blessed. And that is why you may also receive of this blessing. And then there's still so much more to receive of that blessing, isn't there? To learn what that blessing truly means, you're never done. These words mean, which are so familiar. He says, I will bless them. It's God's great I will. And maybe there's someone else who this evening says, well, then I feel so excluded from this blessing. You don't feel this blessing. You don't sense the shining of God's face upon you. You don't experience the grace of God. You do not feel that peace in your heart. You say that's for God's people. That's not for me. What a dreadful condition to be in, not to know this blessing of God. What an unbearable condition to be in, to be without the blessing of God. What a fearful condition to be in. And in the midst of that, I ask again, to whom does God speak these words of blessing? Is it only to the believing and devoted people among Israel? Did he say to Aaron, Aaron, look for those people who are fearing my name and bless them. Seek them out in their homes and bless them. Did he say, Aaron, look for those who are of a contrite heart and are crying out for mercy and speak of mercy to them and not to the rest? No, what does the Lord tell Moses to do, or tell Aaron to do? He says, Moses, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, and I, verse 27, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. Who are the children of Israel? They are the very same ones who were numbered at the beginning of Numbers, when it says, the Lord said, number, take the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel. They were that gathered people there in the wilderness, whom the Lord had attached his name to. They were the ones whom the Lord had established his covenant with. They were the children of Israel. And God says, now speak and pronounce that blessing upon the children of Israel. In general, who were these people? The very same people we read of in Exodus 33. The Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel. It's the very same words. Say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. The Lord knew who he was addressing. He knew what a stiff-necked people they were. Stubborn, rebellious, murmuring, complaining, dancing around a golden calf a few weeks before. And you would say, after all that they did in the wilderness, God would never tell Aaron to say to the children of Israel, the Lord bless thee. And Aaron would never have dared to stretch out his hands to bless those children of Israel after all that they had done, if God himself had not commanded him to do so. But God himself commanded him to do so, to show him how great his mercy is, how great his grace is, how ready he is to show mercy and to bless and to pardon and to cleanse and to restore to himself. That's why there's no one. No one here tonight who can dare to say that blessing cannot be for me? He says, say to the children of Israel, those stiff-necked people, the Lord bless you. Showing his readiness to bless, his willingness to give his blessing. And in those words, he is appealing to you tonight. Let no one doubt my willingness to bless. No one. However you've lived, whatever you've done. In these words of blessing, he says, do not doubt my willingness to bless. In this way, it says, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. In blessing, God places his name upon us time and again, that we leave with that name of the God of blessing upon us. And that's a confirmation of the first time he places his name upon us, and that is in baptism. That baptism that you witnessed this morning, how God took his name and he placed his name upon that young child of the congregation. In what is that name? It is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is the name of the God of salvation, the God of blessing, who comes and says, I am willing to bless also this child. And then we can tend to think that that was so long ago. That's why the Lord again places that name upon us, time and again, with that promise to bless. So that you would hear that promise to bless, God's promise. And you would say, O Lord, do what thou hast said. I didn't make up these words. God speaks these words. The Lord bless thee and keep thee, be gracious to thee and give thee peace. That you would take those words back to you when you have no peace and you find no grace. And that you'd say, O Lord, fulfill thy own word in me. That's what he delights to do. Because he is that God of grace. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. That's his word. And when there's still that hesitation, and you say, but how can that be? Then we see in our final point, not only how comprehensive and how close this blessing comes, but also how costly this blessing is. What can you do to earn this blessing? What can you do? There's nothing. Everything you have done has earned you the opposite of this blessing. We don't deserve the blessing. We deserve the curse. God's curse. All the infinite glory of God not being for us, but being against us. That's the curse. Everything God is, in all his infinite greatness, against us. That's what we deserve. We deserve condemnation. We deserve to not be kept, but to be destroyed. To be given up to everything that would destroy us. That God would say, come death, come judgment, come hell, come everything, and destroy this one, and there be nothing to spare you from all that destruction. That's what we deserve. We deserve not the light of God's face, but the darkness of God's frown, that in the midst of the destruction there would not be a single ray of the light of God's favor, but only that outer darkness. That's what we deserve. God to hide his face forever. Do you know what we deserve? Not that God would be gracious, but that God would only carry out his just sentence against us because of our sin. Sin against such a God of glory. What we deserve is not that God would lift up the light of his countenance, lift up his countenance upon us and show he hears and he knows, but that God would turn a deaf ear to us and would fulfill Proverbs 1. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. What we deserve is not peace, but eternal anguish, eternal torment, where there's gnashing of teeth forever. We deserve none of this blessing. Not a single one of us deserves any part of this blessing, only its opposite. And that's painful to hear, but so important. And if you resist that message of what you deserve, and if you sit in church thinking that blessing is an ordinary thing, that God should bless someone like you, then you're dreaming. And you don't understand what blessing truly is. If you resist the message of what you don't deserve, or what you deserve, you'll never experience the blessing you don't deserve. That's why it's such a mercy that God convicts of sin and convicts of worthiness of curse, and at the same time shows the richness of his blessing in order to direct sinners to the source of this blessing, to the one who gives this blessing. And when we ask who that one is, it's not simply the Lord. It comes from the Lord, but it comes through the one who pronounces this blessing. And you notice in this passage, it was not anyone who could pronounce this blessing. It was not even Moses who could pronounce this blessing. There was only one who could pronounce this blessing, Aaron. And why could only Aaron pronounce this blessing? Because he was the priest. And he could only pronounce that blessing because he had done a work as a priest. He had prayed in that holy place before that incense altar, "O Lord, bless them," and so he could go out and bless them. But he could only dare to pray in that holy place for blessing because he had been by that burnt offering altar, and there he had offered up a sacrifice. There, you see what we deserve. As you see that lamb slain, and as you see that blood flow, and as you see it devoured in the flames, there you see what we deserve. And there you see what it cost for God to be able to bless. And we can't remain there this evening, can we, congregation, at an altar and at a lamb that is burning there on an altar. It points us further. Points us to that one great priest who came as a Son of God and became a man and offered up that greatest sacrifice that the world has ever witnessed, and the only sacrifice with which God could be pleased. He offered up himself as a sacrifice to the justice of God, and he said, "Let all the curse come upon me so that I may purchase that blessing." And that is why Christ now, as that high priest, can stretch out his hands that had been so in his own blood, stretch out those hands to bless those tonight who only have one confession: "Lord, I deserve the curse." It's a priest who blesses, whose hands were pierced. Do you desire to know what the blessing is? You find it here. You find it under the outstretched hands of that only high priest, Jesus Christ. He who endured the destruction and is now exalted to give that safety. He who endured the hiding of God's face to now give the shining of God's face. He who had justice carried out on him to be able to be gracious unto the unworthy. He who was forsaken by God so that God could lift up his countenance upon unworthy ones and bless. He who had all the wrath of hellish agony so that he could now give peace. Has this blessing of the Lord led you to this Christ, this Savior, to confess your worthiness of the curse and hear him say, "The Lord bless you"? To confess your darkness and worthiness of it, and to hear him say, "The Lord shine with his light of his face upon you." To confess you deserve that just punishment, and to hear him say, "The Lord be gracious to you." To confess before this Christ, "Oh, I've fought against God, and I've rebelled against him." And to hear him say, "The Lord give you peace." The blessing is to lead us to the one through whom that blessing flows, the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Too many hear about blessing also in church, and it can warm them and they leave, but it's without Christ. And if it's without Christ, it's without blessing. If that has been your posture, hear those words still again, that the greatness of God's grace in Christ would lead you to him. That prayer, "Oh, bless me indeed, for Jesus' sake." It's there at his feet that this blessing is fulfilled, that it flows, that it's enjoyed, and that it's known. Just as you see with those disciples as they are there. When the Lord Jesus is about to ascend, where is the blessing? It's under those outstretched hands of Christ himself. O congregation, when we realize what a cost that blessing comes at, then that blessing that we may hear at the end of a service is not an ordinary thing. It's not just meaning that the service is over. No, it is the most amazing thing. It's a gift of God, the gift of his grace. And receiving that blessing, you can then go into another week. Otherwise, you can't. Hear his word. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." How blessed are they who know the joyful sound, who when they hear his voice, in happiness abound. Amen.